action and wondering, how am I going to stay after that? We thought of singing some shlokas from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's called Gopi Gita. And I'll explain why I decided to sing these few verses, especially the first one, which is the ninth verse of this chapter. This is from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The 31st chapter of 10th canto is known as Gopi Gita. Gopi Gita means the song sung by the gopis. The ninth verse specifically thank you, Guru Maharaj. Here we have the copies of five verses. First one, four verses. The first one is actually the ninth verse, and after that is first, second, and third from this chapter. The first verse goes like Tava Katham Ritam Tapta Jivanam Kobi Bhir Iritam Kalma Shapaham Shravana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhuri Vinanti Ye Bhuri Dharyana. Means the nature of your work and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. So, the gopis are actually singing this. Krishna was dancing with all the cowherd damsels in Vrindavan. Krishna called them at night in the forest of Vrindavan, in a full moon night, and he was dancing with them. Then all of a sudden Krishna left the Rasa Mandali. He disappeared. He was dancing with 16,000 gopis. He expanded himself into 16,000 Krishnas, and he was dancing with each one of them. It has been described that the gopis were dancing in circles. The first circle, in the center, there was one Krishna dancing with one gopi. Then in the next circle, in the first circle, eight Krishnas were dancing with eight gopis. Then in the next circle, Krishna was dancing with 100 gopis. And in this way, the circle was expanding. Now, there was one Krishna in the middle, dancing with one gopi. And at one point, this gopi who was in the center was a little disappointed with Krishna. So Krishna left everyone else and Krishna went with her. Now, who is this particular gopi? Shrimati Radha. But then at certain point, Krishna left Radharani also and he disappeared. So all the gopis searching for Krishna found that Radharani was there all by herself. And then they realized that Krishna also left Radharani and went away. So looking for Krishna, searching for Krishna, they came to the bank of Yamuna. And there, pouring out their emotions, all the love for Krishna in their heart, they started to express their agony. And that is the 31st chapter of the 10th canto, which is known as Gopi Gita, the Song of the Gopis. Now, in this 9th verse, they are singing one very beautiful, they are presenting a very wonderful statement about Krishna. And not only Krishna, they are actually speaking about somebody who spreads the glory of Krishna, who spreads Krishna consciousness. And that personality must be very, very special. Like Tava Kathamritam, Katha means words and Amrita means nectar. The nectarian words of Krishna and about Krishna. What does that do? That is being described here. The nectarian words of Krishna is Bhagavad Gita. And nectarian words about Krishna is Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is words spoken by Krishna himself. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the description about Krishna by the devotees of Krishna. So, Tava Kathamritam, with nectarian words of Krishna and about Krishna, Krishna Katha Amrita, what does it do? Tapto Jivanam. We all are suffering in this material nature. Are we suffering in this material nature or are we enjoying? We know that if we think that we are enjoying, it is illusory. It's maya. To think that we are enjoying in this material nature is an illusory concept. We are not only suffering, our suffering condition is like burning in a blazing fire of that blazing fire in the forest. Blazing forest fire. We are burning constantly in that. Like you know, samsara dava nalalita loka. So this also is describing how we are actually burning in this forest fire of material existence. But what does Tava Kathamritam, Krishna Katha does? When we hear about Krishna Katha, then that forest fire becomes extinguished. Automatically becomes extinguished. Because it is not, it does not only pour raindrops, but it showers the nectar of Kobibhir Ivitam. This glorification of Krishna and this transmission of Krishna Katha is performed and executed by the most exalted personality, Kobibhir. Kobi means those who are most exalted intellectually and spiritually. Like Brahma is a Kavi, Adi Kavi. The original Kavi is Brahma. Adi Kavaye Muihanti Jatsulaya. Narada is a Kavi. So these pure devotees are actually this Kavi who distribute Krishna prema, who transmit Krishna katha to the living entities. And when one hears that, what happens? Kalma shapaham. All the impurities, all the sinful reactions become immediately purified. The sinful reactions become eradicated. Kalma shapaham. And shravana mangalam. Just by hearing that, we receive an inconceivable auspiciousness. Our life becomes full of auspiciousness just by hearing this Krishna katha. Didn't it happen to you all? Ever since you started to hear Krishna katha in the form of Srila Prabhupada's teaching, reading Prabhupada's books, reading Bhagavad Gita, didn't your life become full of auspiciousness? Didn't sinful life come to an end and all the sinful reactions became eradicated? So these are the practical benefits of hearing Krishna katha. Kobi bhir iritam kalma shapaham shravana mangalam. It brings all auspiciousness and Srimadatatam. It bestows an inconceivable spiritual wealth. We receive an inconceivable spiritual wealth. Srimadatatam. And Bhubi Grinanti, one who distributes this Krishna Katha all over the world. This expression, bhumi, is very important. Consider Bhagavad, this description was made about 5,000 years ago. And they were actually dancing in Vrindavan. The gopis on the bank of the river Jamuna, they were expressing their anguish through this verses. So it was happening in Vrindavan, it was happening in India, but the gopis did not really use the expression in the land of India. What did they say? Bhumi Grinanti. Bhumin, you know, Bhumandal. What is Bhumandal? Bhumandal is the earth planet. So here, they are sort of forecasting that the one who distributes this Krishna Katha all over the world, Bhumi, throughout the earth planet, is Bhuridajana, the most munificent person, most magnanimous person. Now, does it ring some bell? Who they are talking about? They are talking about Sri Prabhupada. Now I will elaborate on that again afterwards. Like the significance of this particular verse which had been manifest again in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But I'll quickly go through the other verses also and the translation. So you remember I mentioned that this first verse here actually is the ninth verse. And then a second, third and fourth are actually the first, second and third verses of this chapter. This chapter begins like Jayati Tehikam Janmana Vajra Shayata Indira Shashvatatrahi Doita Drishyatam Dikshutavakam Doim Krita Savas Tam Vichinmate Jayati Tethikam Janmanam Vraja. Krishna, ever since you took birth in Vraja, the Vraja has become glorified. Jayati Tethikam, Vraja Bhumi has become glorified, has been exceedingly glorious. And thus, Indira is another name of Lakshmi Devi. Shayata Indira Shashvadatrati. And since then, Lakshmi Devi is constantly residing in Vrindavan. Because you have taken birth, Lakshmi Devi is constantly residing here. And when Lakshmi Devi resides, what happens? That place becomes full of auspiciousness. That place becomes full of wealth. Shayata Indira Shashvadatrati. And Doita Drishyatam Dikshutavakam. Oh my beloved Lord, please give us your darshan. Because just by your birth you have made everything so fortunate, everything so auspicious in Vrindavan. But why are you making us so unfortunate? We are yearning to see you and you have disappeared. And this is indeed the worst misfortune. O beloved, your birth in the land of Vraja has made it exceedingly glorious, and thus Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides here. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you. So please show yourself to us. Sharadudashaye sadhujata sat sarasijo daro shri mushadrisha surata nathate Shulka Dashika Bharata Nignato Neha Kevata. O Lord of Love, O Lord of Love, your beauty, your glance excels the world of the finest, most perfectly formed lotus within the autumn pond. O bestower of benedictions, you are killing the maidservant who have given themselves to you freely without any price. Isn't this murder? So they're saying that you are the Lord of Love. And then they're describing his beauty. And in this way, Krishna, he bestows benediction to everyone. But here they're saying that we are your Ashulka Dashike, unpaid maidservant. We are not only your maidservant, but we are your unpaid maidservant. You don't pay us anything. And now, although you are the bestower of the greatest benediction, but look what you are doing to us. You are killing us by not giving your darshan. Vishajalapayad Vyala Rakshasad Varsha Marutad Vaidutanala Vrishamayatmajad Vishato Payad Rishabhadevayami Rakshitamadu. O greatest of personalities, you have repeatedly saved us from all kinds of danger, from poisoned water, from the terrible man-eater Agha, from the great rains, from the wind demon, from the fiery thunderbolt of Indra, from the bull demon, and from the son of Mayadhana. Now you have saved us from all kinds of calamities, but look what you are doing to us now. Although you have been our savior under all circumstances and conditions, but now you are becoming the cause of our death. Because without seeing you, we are feeling as if we are going to die. I'll just briefly discuss one pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then we'll sing it. After taking sannyas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath. Generally, when one used to take sannyas those days, he used to leave home and just keep wandering around from one place of pilgrimage to another. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, when Nityananda Prabhu tricked him and brought him to Shantipur in the house of Advaita Acharya, then all the residents of Navadvip came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Sachi Mata also came along with him, the mother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt very guilty that leaving his elderly mother into sannyas, and there is no one to take care of her. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to lament for taking sannyas and told my mother, "I made a mistake by taking sannyas. So I'll give up my sannyas and I will take care of you." But at that time, Sachi Mata told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Since you have taken sannyas, stick to your vow. Otherwise, he'll become a laughing stock. People will say that it's just a whimsical." And sannyas, accepting sannyas order, is actually a very, very serious business. So, Sachi Mata, as a perfect mother, did not consider her own advantage and benefit. She just considered the actual welfare of her son and the reputation of her son. But now, at that time, Sachi Mata made one request, that you stay nearby so that I can get your message. And she requested him, and at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri is the place where the Lord is eternally present in His most merciful form as the Lord of the universe. And people in Bengal had a very close link with Jagannath Puri, and the people of Orissa also had a very close link with Bengal because of the Ganges. From Puri, from Orissa, people used to come to Bengal to take baths in the Ganges, and people used to go from Bengal to Orissa to take part in the chariot festival of Lord Jagannath. And Sachi Mata considered, this way I can get your message, I can get your news. And so therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, he went to Jagannath. When he arrived in Jagannath Puri, people began to recognize him as the Supreme Personality of God. Although some individuals were quite averse to this concept, to present him as God, they thought it was completely unauthentic, unauthorized, and unbonafide. And one of them was Sarvamo Sakacharya. He was the greatest scholar of that time. He was the greatest scholar, greatest Mayavadi scholar of that time. But And he did not want to accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then gradually, he also recognized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very mercifully bestowed him his actual identity. As you know, as he showed his six-armed form. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as one of his very, very dear associates. And in this way, many people in Jagannath Puri began to recognize Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the king of Orissa, King Pratap Rudra, could not accept him as God. And his point was that, I accept that he is a very exalted spiritual personality, but God, no, I can't accept him as God. He did not so openly say that, but he was harboring that mood. Now, in the meantime, after the Jagannath's chariot festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went out on a pilgrimage. He went to South Africa. I'm sorry, South India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled through South India. But then, King Pratap Rudra got to know about one incident that actually changed his whole attitude towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He heard that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to South India, he came to a place called Kurmakshetra, and he stayed in the house of a brahmana, and that night. And in the morning, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, one great devotee of the Lord, but who unfortunately had leprosy, and his body was eaten up. Leprosy makes the flesh and bone to melt away, rots away. So he considered, but he got the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his village. And then, this Vasudev was such a great, compassionate personality that although leprosy is a very, very painful disease, and it causes sometimes to worm get into the wound and eat up the flesh. So this Vasudev's body was rotting, and there were worms eating the rotten flesh. But still, Vasudev did not try to deprive them of their food. He was so compassionate that he considered that after all, if they can derive some benefit from this body, let them. So much so that when some worm used to fall out of the womb, Vasudev used to pick that up and put it back onto the wound. So this is how compassionate a devotee to Vasudev was. But Vasudev got the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to their village a little late. In the morning when he came, he found that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already left. So he became so heartbroken that he started to roll on the ground and cry piteously that the Supreme Personality of Godhead came so close, but I'm so unfortunate that I could not get to see him. Now, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to some distance, but he came back. He, as a super soul, he knows everyone's. He knew what was happening to Vasudeva. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to pacify him. He came back. At that time Vasudeva was rolling on the ground crying. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked him up and he embraced him. And just by the touch of divine touch of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vasudeva's leprosy disappeared immediately. And his body was completely cured. And not only cured, it became so beautiful. It became more beautiful than the body of a demigod. So this news reached King Pratapurudra. And then King Pratapurudra reasoned. He actually told his intimate associates like Salomon Bhattacharya that I heard of many saintly people, exalted spiritual personalities, curing a leper. Curing a leper, it has happened in the past. But none of them embraced the leper. Such mercy and such affection can be displayed only by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Father of every living being. The father's affection for the child makes him embrace the child no matter in whatever condition the child may be in. No matter how dirty he may be in, but the father or mother doesn't consider that. Because of the intense love for the child, that external dirt does not bear any significance. King Pratapurudra therefore concluded that this personality is indeed the Supreme Personality of God. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from his tour of South India, King Pratapurudra wanted to see him, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused. He said that the sannyasi's business is not to have anything to do with the king. A sannyasi doesn't have anything to do with the king. And King Pratapurudra became so heartbroken that he even decided to give up his kingdom and become a sannyasi himself. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, then I won't see him, but his son, who is actually his extension, he can come and see him. So in this way, through the via medium of his son, King Pratapurudra had the association with his Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the Ratha Jatra time came and King Pratapurudra was sweeping the road in front of Lord Jagannath's chariot. And then after the chariot started to move, it comes to Balgandhi, a garden where Jagannath's chariot stops, and he receives offerings from all those who want to make some offering to him. And at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying down under a tree. At that time, King Pratapurudra came disguised as an ordinary farmer, a village man. And he started to massage Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And while massaging his feet, he started to recite some verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Which one? He was reciting Tava Kathamritam Tam Sanjeevanam Gobibhir Eeditam Karma Shatam Shravana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhumi Kinanti Bhumi Dhanam. So you remember the last line? The Bhumi Kinanti Bhumi Dhanam. The one who distributes this Krishna Kathamrita throughout the world He is indeed the most munificent personality. The purpose of King Pratapudra singing that song was that you are so magnanimous. You are giving Krishna prem, you are distributing Krishna Kathamrita all over the world. You have come to accomplish that purpose. You have come here to deliver everyone. But you won't bestow your mercy upon this Pratapudra. So in that mood, he actually sang that. That you are so munificent, but when it comes to me, you are going to deprive me of your munificence and magnanimity. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when King Pratapudra recited that line, he jumped up and he embraced King Pratapudra and he started to say, Bhurida, Bhurida. The one who distributes Krishna consciousness all over the world is indeed the most magnificent, the most magnificent. Now King Pratapudra was indicating this verse to King, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accept that and started to repeat that yes, indeed, he is the most magnificent person? Was he talking about himself? Naturally not. What to speak of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Even a gentleman won't do that. When somebody glorifies you, you're going to say, yes, that's true. But here, he is saying, yes, that's true. Now, why he was accepting that statement of King Pratapudra? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forecasted by saying, yes, indeed, a personality will come who will distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world, in every town and village. Now, who is that personality that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has forecasted? So now you can see why this song is very special to us. The gopis of Vrindavan forecasted Srila Prabhupada's arrival. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed that. And then, finally, when Srila Prabhupada came, we ourselves could see it with our own eyes. The benefit that Srila Prabhupada has created for this world. Bhuri Rinandi Bhuri Dharma. So now we will sing this song together. Nittai go, Hari go. Thank you all very much. All glory is to Shiva.